Okay, so last week we got started with lesson five, and again we talked about this topic of does it matter if I grow and develop as a Christian? And of course the short answer is yes, it does matter if we grow and develop as a Christian. And certainly we should all desire that. One of the verses that we took time to read last week was over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read those verses here again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And those verses read, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And certainly, when you begin to think about it, when Peter wrote this, these verses here, he certainly wrote them to Christians scattered throughout Asia Minor, but the fact is they certainly apply to us even today. And the simple fact is we should desire the pure milk of God's word. And certainly when you begin to think about that pure milk, we talked about the fact that the word itself is not diluted. Not diluted with anything. So shouldn't be the mixing or teachings of men or anything. It should be simply the pure milk of God's word. His word only. And again, one of the points I wanted to make last week was that, you think about these verses that were written. They were written to all Christians. We should desire His word itself. And again, think about the fact, we made mention last week, if we were to observe a newborn babe and that babe was not growing physically, then we would certainly be concerned. And think about a Christian who you're baptized into the body of Christ, but you fail to grow spiritually. And again, think about the simple fact that the only way that we ourselves can grow is through the milk of the Word of God. Again, think about our Father in heaven and what His reaction would be, those Christians who fail to grow spiritually. And instead of growing, these Christians find themselves at the exact same level they were at when they first got baptized into the body of Christ. That new life begins when we were baptized into the body. And while we started off with spiritual milk, we are certainly meant to develop and to grow in Christ. As Peter closed out his second letter to the Christians over here in Asia Minor, he wrote the following over in 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's read verses 17 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And those verses read, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So again, the point that I really wanted to emphasize here is that, certainly we know that God is good, we know that He's gracious, and again, the fact that we should want to grow in Christ. We also had an opportunity to take a look over in Hebrews chapter 5. Starting with verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 11. And while we talked about verses that were, really meant for Christians overall, over in 1 Peter chapter 2, think about these verses and the fact that they are a little bit more pointed. They're a little bit more directed in a sense. Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 11. And we read, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. But though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, as we go on to chapter 6 here, we read, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from their works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So, and I think we actually stopped around these verses last week. So we're talking about the simple fact of, again, maturity and growth and development in the individual Christian. And the fact that, again, we should desire to grow. So I think we actually stop over here in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. In that verse again, we read, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And I think that concept itself is pretty easy to understand. Certainly, we should study in order to grow more mature in Christ. Let's also turn over to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And that one verse reads, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, as we flip back over to Hebrews chapter 5 here, and as we take a look at that last verse again, verse 14, which tells us, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Want to take a look at a couple of more verses here. First verse is going to be Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. That one verse encourages us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And let's also turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And in that verse, we read, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And essentially what I wanted to do again is just talk about a couple of verses that were pretty similar to the verses that we read over in Hebrews there. But ultimately, you know, what I wanted to do here is have us to think about what this Hebrew writer is actually saying here. He was telling these Christians that they were slow to learn. And a lot of that might have been because they chose not to learn. They didn't want to learn about God. And, you know, certainly a lot of that goes to the point that they certainly did not study the word. And furthermore, he tells them that they were actually immature because they failed to train themselves to distinguish between right and wrong. And you think about that, you know, sometimes we can find ourselves in that exact same rut, especially if we're not maturing in Christ. probably not going to be able to properly discern between what's right and what's wrong. So,
think about that process requires that we acknowledge we don't know everything. I think sometimes we approach things in life as though they should be easy. And it is true that there are aspects of the scriptures that even a child can understand, but there are some difficult things as well. And so sometimes when we're trying to move from the belt to the knee, we get discouraged because it's not coming easy. It's not coming without effort. And I was thinking this morning in our daily Bible read, when Mary didn't understand everything about her son Jesus, but it says she treasured these things up in her heart. And sometimes when we read through and are studying God's word, we might not fully understand it, but we treasure it up in our hearts. We're going to be growing and building now our foundation for understanding. When we try to put those things into practice that we do understand, we're going to be doing exactly what you're talking about now, which is putting those things to the test, practicing them. And that's where our growth is going to come, because we're stretching ourselves and we're exercising our spiritual muscles. Without that, we'll never move through it.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. And certainly, you know, just to go along with what Brent just said here, you know, it's not an overnight process. And I think we talked about this before. It will take time to truly become fully mature, to become fully perfect in Christ. We may go an entire lifetime and never become fully perfect in Christ. But the simple fact is, as long as we are maturing and we are obeying the will of God and trying to understand that word, and not just understand it, but of course, abide by that word in our lives. And certainly, you know, we find ourselves again taking steps towards maturity there. Matter of fact, one of the items that I wanted to talk about here is becoming spiritually stagnant and find ourselves, you know, not growing in Christ. And you know, when you begin to think about those moments of stagnation in our own lives, you know, think about what stopped you from actually growing in Christ. And I know for myself, I have a little story here. So for myself, you know, I could think back on the moment that I was actually baptized into the body of Christ. And truly, I can honestly say that, you know, in being baptized into the body of Christ, you know, there was joy initially and everything. And, you know, it was a great feeling to be baptized into the body of Christ. But I will also say shortly afterwards that I found myself literally spiritually stagnant. And I wasn't doing anything. Really didn't find myself doing anything, you know, publicly in terms of worship. I certainly was not trying to teach anyone because I didn't know anything at that time. So, you know, I was falling short on all aspects there. And certainly when you think about that great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples there, the fact is we all have a responsibility. We all have a duty. Now, we might not necessarily all have the exact same abilities to go out and preach and teach, but, you know, certainly even the life that we live as Christians, there might be something that we do to actually bring a lost soul to Christ. So, you know, when I go back to this and I think about it, I can honestly say, you know, at that time, I was a very shy individual. But the simple fact is, you know, I'm not going to use that as a reason as to why I did not do anything, why I did not study the word or anything. Simple fact is, I just chose not to study. And even though there was that initial joy of becoming a Christian, I really had no desire to study the word at that time. And the reality is there was a lot of things in my life that were more important that I put before God. The first Church of Christ that I went to with my wife here, I think for the first 2 years I did nothing. When we moved and we're at another Church of Christ there, I think the first year, again, I did nothing but sat and watch. And the reality is I was pretty content just coming in and sitting down in the pew and listening on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. I was pretty content coming Wednesday, sitting down doing the exact same thing. As the number within that congregation started to dwindle, and some of the men went elsewhere. Now, at this point, one of the other brothers of Christ actually came and asked me if I would help on the table. Now, at the same time, even though I had sat and watched numerous times as to what they did on the table, when I got up there, I can honestly say I kind of messed it up a little bit. At least I deviated from what the custom was. But I can say from that time on that, you know, I took a greater interest and I began doing things. From there, song leading, which was somewhat difficult for myself, considering my voice is not the best sometimes. I think Marvis can actually attest to that. Several occasions she's told me she'd rather hear the radio as opposed to hearing me. So, but at the same time, you know, there was song leading. And by the time I actually did my first invitation, I think I've told this story, in which case, you know, I had planned in my mind for a 5-minute invitation. And I got up there and I think I was so nervous that I ended up talking for 10 minutes. And I do believe half of that might have just been rattling on. So by the time I did my first sermon, the good thing that I can honestly say here is that, you know, I had a few brothers come up to me, talk to me, provide some very useful feedback to me, some things that I could do to improve. And the one thing you begin to realize is that as a Christian, you know, Christians, we want to see each other succeed. You know, I probably ran into more Christians that want to see you succeed, and they want to see you grow in Christ as opposed to those who want to see you do poor. So the simple fact is, you know, that feedback certainly led to encouragement. And at the same time, you continue to try and do more and more. And again, the point that I wanted to make here is simple. And the fact that, you know, as Christians, again, we should want to desire to grow in Christ. And the fact that, you know, we really have to be honest with ourselves. You know, we can kind of sit down and say there was a lot of things stopping us from doing this, doing that. But the simple fact is, it boils down to the fact that we should want to know more about God. And we should want to do the work that we are to be doing while we're here on this earth. And the simple fact is, again, we all have that responsibility, especially when you go back to that great commission provided by our Lord and Savior. When I actually had an opportunity to go to a preacher training program, I wasn't invited to that preacher training program. So I just so happened to be talking to another brother in Christ, and he was telling me about this program. And so I actually called the preacher, and I talked to him very briefly, and he told me to come on down. So I came on down, went to the course, had the opportunity to actually invite two additional brothers in Christ to that same preacher training program. And the point that I want to make here is simple, that, you know, as we have those opportunities, and there's numerous opportunities that we have in Christ, you know, we should certainly truly consider those opportunities in terms of growth. Now, again, I'll be the first person to tell you that I started off as a half-hearted, you know, not fully committed Christian. And I actually want to read a few verses here. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 14. I think we're going to start in verse 28 there. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 28. And we read, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, and he is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to war, against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus goes on to say that salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And again, you know, the point that I'm making with all of this is that we can't be half-hearted disciples of Christ. I mean, we have to be fully committed. And again, you know, I told that little story there, but the fact is, I know certainly when I was baptized into the body of Christ, even though there was that initial joy, certainly I can honestly say that I was a half-hearted Christian. I was not fully committed to Christ at that time. And I know that. And I will, you know, certainly be happy to tell you now that I am committed, fully committed. But, you know, sometimes it does take a little time. And the simple fact is, you know, I do believe, you know, if we take advantage of the numerous opportunities that come our way, they can be small opportunities to grow. You know, I can recall, again, going from helping out on the Lord's Supper, doing scripture readings, song leading, and again, even going back and just simply being a greeter, you know, for visitors that was coming in and for the members. And, you know, all of these things play a role in the body of Christ, all of them. So even something as simple as just greeting visitors, greeting people as they come in, all of that stuff is important. How many churches of Christ have we been to and no one greets you? You know, you think about what we read in scriptures and in the Bible itself. You know, you think about Paul and numerous times he says, you know, greetings. And the simple fact is it can be something small, but again, it is something that, again, we find ourselves becoming better and better at until we're able to move on to that next thought process or that next task. And again, it all goes back to doing the work that we were put here for.
Yes, ma'am. 2 points with that. One, the examples you've given are public roles geared towards the men of the church. But there are lots of roles for the women to grow into as well.
Absolutely.
Whether it's teaching a children's class or pulling aside a younger woman to help her along the way. We as women need to make sure that we are growing in the Word as well.
Right.
So that we can fulfill the role that God has given specifically for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other thought, for those of us who have come out of some type of denomination, it's really important for us to be in the Word and learning, because we've learned things that aren't according to God's will.
Sure.
And we need to study ourselves out of that. I know for myself, it's been over 25 years since I was last part of the denomination, but there were things that were indoctrinated into me that I still find myself occasionally thinking, oh, it's this way. And then I go to read scripture, I'm like, oh, no, it's not that way. And so it's really important that you think about these epistles. A lot of them were written to people who were formerly pagans. Or even if you think about the Hebrew people, you know, they only had part of the word and they had to grow into what Christ wanted us to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, there's no doubt that, again, each and every one of us, again, if we're a disciple of Christ, we have a certain responsibility. And certainly when you think about that great commission that was provided to us, now you think about this concept of being a Christian. You know that great commission is out there. You know you have a responsibility to teach, to preach the word, certainly as a church, we have a responsibility for edification, of course, limited for benevolence work. But, you know, how can you do any of these things if you fail to grow in Christ? If you're not studying the word and you really don't know what God wants for you, how can you do any of it? Yes, sir.
I think also another role that everyone needs to play is an active hearer. And when we hear, you know, our faith is based on knowledge of God's word and knowledge. And the preacher, when he preaches and presents God's word, Bible class, when we hear God's word, what that should do is prompt us to look deeper and to study what he said, not take his word for it.
Right.
And, you know, we may take something out of context, but to go back and look at what was said and make it part of your faith and part of your knowledge based on God's word.
Absolutely.
And become an active hearer.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. And certainly, you know, taking that time again, you know, that's one of the things I've kind of gotten used to doing, even as, you know, others preach or what have you, you know, read along with them. And again, make sure that what they are saying, again, is according to God's word. You know, and you mentioned denominationalism. I grew up in more or less a denomination, and did that for 20 plus years before I met my wife here and started going to a Church of Christ. So simple fact is, you know, it's easy to get that stuff ingrained within you. And again, a little bit harder sometimes to break free of it. But, you know, you think about this concept of reading the Word of God. And again, truly doing this deep dive into the Word of God to make sure, again, we are pleasing in His sight. And to be pleasing in His sight, that means we are obeying His Word. And we're applying that Word to our life. So, are there any additional comments or? Okay, and the point that I wanted to make behind all of that again is the fact that, you know, certainly all of this requires a full commitment on our part. And again, how can we be effective disciples of Christ if we ourselves, again, need to be taught the basics over and over and over again? If we're not taking the time out to grow in Christ. And really what that says, you know, if it's not important to you, then why should it be important to me? There's lost soul out here. You know, and the simple fact is, if we as Christians want it to be, you know, if we want to be effective disciples of Christ, then certainly we should know the word and we should study that word. That's really the only way that we'll get to where we need to be. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. The verse tells us to meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Let's also turn over to Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And those verses read, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And then lastly, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know, certainly, when you think about your life as a Pharisee, consider whether or not we're actually bearing any fruit. We're bearing any few fruit, or again, whether we're just simply finding ourselves going through the motion. Sometimes it's real easy to find ourselves going through the motion and not necessarily knowing that we're going through this motion, but, you know, again, consider whether or not you're bearing fruit, whether or not you are actually doing the work, again, that we were sent here to do. Okay, the next, point that I wanted to make here is number two, which says, why should we grow on our outline here? And certainly, one of the reasons we should grow and want to grow is to fight against sin in our lives. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. So we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does as it shares, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And again, the point that I wanted to make here is, you know, when we have the word of God in our lives, certainly we have purpose, and we find ourselves again doing the work that we should be doing as Christians. We should also be willing to grow because it will make us faithful and fruitful. And again, by growing, I mean studying the word of God, and again, growing that way. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 13. We won't necessarily read any verses, but again, in Matthew 13, we actually see this parable of the sower. Again, you think about that good soil, that heart that reacts positive to the word of God, and the fact that, you know, what distinguishes this particular heart from all of those other ones is that this individual is actually receptive to the word of God. And not only are they receptive to it, they actually apply it to their lives and they find themselves being fruitful. And again, you know, Jesus talked about, you know, the various levels of how fruitful this individual might be. Over in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but, you know, think about this concept again, that the more we know, the better opportunity we have to start teaching others and to, again, doing this work that we put here for in terms of trying to save lost souls. Now, what is needed for growth? Certainly, we know food is, especially from a physical standpoint, we know food is needed for growth. And from a spiritual standpoint, we know we need spiritual food. Let's turn over to John chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 27 through 35. John chapter 6, verses 27 through 35. And those verses read, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What works will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives you life, or gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And again, you know, you think about it, there's only one source. And of course, the word of God is that source that we should want to feed on in order to grow and develop as a Christian. And of course, we know we do need adequate food. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. That one verse tells us, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, the songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And again, the point that I'm really trying to drive home here is again that, you know, we must rely upon the word of God in order to grow spiritually. And over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's turn over there as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Paul talks about exercising yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Those verses tell us, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. But body exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So again, you know, this opportunity to, you know, you think about exercise and of course, if we want to find ourselves getting stronger and stronger, we kind of repeat that habit over and over. Think about the fact that, you know, if we're trying to grow in Christ, then certainly we want to repeat this habit over and over on a daily basis in terms of reading the Word of God, and in terms of, again, doing that deep dive on those things that perhaps we don't necessarily understand initially, but, you know, through more and more study, you know, we find ourselves getting stronger and stronger in the Word of God. And lastly here, as I prepare to close up, simple fact is we must grow. We must certainly look at our lives to see if we are growing in Christ. And again, you know, when you look at your life, I mean, just be honest with yourself. We know whether or not we are truly growing in Christ, or again, you know, if we're just an individual who's kind of coming in and content with going through the motions. And we truly do know which type of individual we can find ourselves as. Consider whether or not we are stepping outside of our comfort zone. And lastly, I just want to end by saying, you know, in order to grow to that effective worker for Christ, in order to truly mature and develop in Christ again, you know, we must find ourselves, again, opening the Word of God, studying that Word, and during those moments, you know, there are numerous resources that we can reach out to. Numerous brothers in Christ who perhaps have additional knowledge and information that can kind of help us through those perhaps trouble scriptures that we can't necessarily figure out. And the point that I'm simply making here is we have resources, we have opportunities to do all these things in order to continue to grow in Christ. And again, the fact is we should take advantage of it. I'm going to stop there for the evening. Has anyone have any final questions or comments? Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see everybody out tonight. Okay, before I know what you know of, Larry and Susan are still out. The sick of the Anna Lloyd, her procedure has been postponed to March the 31st. Also, keeping in prayers of Sandra Myers, cancer. Also, Sherry Reeves and Bambi, which the program had a good report the last time. Keep in mind, Kenny Owens, he has his nerve test tomorrow over in Columbia. Also, Bob Riggs, surgery in April. Also, keep in mind, Becky McMahon and also Brandon Smith. Edith Berkebaugh, Bill Talbert, and Dean Silver, not wasn't feeling good tonight. Also, Dalton Truesville, that's COVID-19, which is Dorothy's grandson. So y'all keep all these in the prayers. Don't get called 1-800 number as well. Also, sign up back there for the men's sheet. It's got plenty of openings back there, so don't forget to sign up for it. Also, we still got plenty of openings for cleaning the building, so continue to sign up on that as well. The worship order tonight is Mark will be having the song leading. Mr. Gary Bishop will be our speaker, and I will have a closing prayer.
Sing number 532, We Shall See the King Someday. In all three verses, 532.
Though the way we journey may be often drear, we shall see the King someday. On that blessed morning, clouds will disappear. We shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gather round the throne when he shall call his own. We shall see the King someday. After pain and anguish, after toil and care, we shall see the King someday. Through the endless ages, joy and blessing share, we shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gather round the throne when he shall call his own. We shall see the King someday. After battles won. We shall see the King someday. After strife is over, after set of song, we shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gather round the throne, he shall call his own. We shall see the King someday.
Our song of invitation after the invitation is given will be 320, 320, Will Jesus Find Us Watching, and we'll sing all three verses.
Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. I'm going to read this text, and then we're going to make a few comments. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, so God shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Did you notice how that started? Be anxious for nothing. Then how it ends, and the God of peace will be with, shall be with you. I like bookends. But be anxious for nothing. Then he talks about these things we're to do. And if we do these things, God of peace will be with you. Look at what he says. Look in verse 6. What are we supposed to do? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Pray. When we're worried, it says, don't worry. Pray. Look to God. Let him know what you're feeling. Talk to God. Take time. Next thing says, verse 8. We go through this list, whatever is pure, true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's anything excellent and something worth of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Think. The next thing he tells us, instructs us to do, verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. I think about what we just read. What does it tell us? Pray, think, and do. And I have that written in my Bible in the margin. When I come to this part, and I see, be anxious for nothing. And it says, pray, think, and do. Then you come to that last verse, it says, the peace of God will be with you. Okay? If we will do that activity, when we are anxious, when we're worried, when we're concerned, we will pray. Think on the things that we read here. Think on these things. And finally, do the things that Paul instructs here to do. What you have learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, practice these things. And again, the final result, the God of peace shall be with you. You know, being a child of God, we look at this peace we have, knowing that things of this earth, compared to what we see in heaven, what we see in Christ, what we see in God, Paul referred to it as things of this earth as being rubbish in comparison to the glory and the things that we see in heaven. You can't compare. There's no way. And being a child of God is something we all need to seriously think about and understand what it means to be a child of God. To put on Christ in baptism, to repent, to confess, to live a life that's pleasing to God. That's what we need to do. There's anyone here tonight who needs to put on Christ in baptism. Anyone who needs to renew their spirit, to renew themselves in obedience to God, would ask that you come and sing this song.
When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching? Waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching, in his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?
Appreciate everybody making it out this evening to study the Word of God. We are always grateful for Brother James and the work that he does in preparing for this class. We hope that we are examining ourselves as we have been talking about for weeks. Taking an assessment of where we stand, if we are still working on the milk or we are progressing towards the meat, we need to be making progress. Some will make progress faster than others. It is not a race in that way, but it is what we have to do in order to make sure that we are continually bettering our knowledge of God and his word, because that is how we will be the best servants that we can be. for what he wants us to do. But we appreciate those that joined us by Zoom. It's always good to see those faces that are with us. And grateful. Remember that we will be back here on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our regular worship service. And look forward to that. So at this time, we will be led in our closing prayer.